Ms. Cahill, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Can you give me an overview of the issue?
Well, the low-level presence of genetically modified or GM crops in non-GM crops occurs when trace amounts of the GM crops become accidentally mixed with non-GM crops. And this can happen at a number of stages during field production, processing, packing, storage, or even during transportation. And the type of crops we're talking about are important food and feed commodities, staple crops, cereals, grains. Now, in the last few years, some countries have reported an increasing number of detections of low levels of GM crops in non-GM crops. This information has come through their national or regional reporting systems, and in some cases they have even informed FAO, albeit on an informal basis. With the increase in production of genetically modified crops around the world, it's probably not unusual that a higher number of these incidents of low levels of GMOs are being detected in food that is traded. Also, improvements in the sensitivity of test methods being used to detect GMOs seem to play a role in this. And another factor relates to the frequency of testing. Some countries are conducting more intensive testing regimes for these feeds and food products at their borders. And this increase in frequency of routine testing also seems to be contributing to the increase in incidence of low levels of GM crops.
What concerns are emerging from this issue?
Well, the biggest concern is the disruption to trade between countries and, of course, the associated economic impact. When low levels of GM crops are detected in a shipment of non-GM crops, the shipment is generally rejected by the importing country. The consignments are either returned to the country of origin, which in itself has cost implications, or in some cases they're destroyed. And the latter, of course, not only has economic implications, but also contributes to food losses. Now, there are no international agreements defining or quantifying low levels, and therefore the interpretation tends to vary from one country to another, and thus the approach taken to manage this issue can be quite variable. Some countries have tried to manage this issue by introducing regulations into their regulatory framework, but this can require a heavy investment in laboratory capacity, for example, to detect and quantify the GMOs. While this works for some countries, the reality is for many countries, they simply don't have the resources or the capacity to implement such a regulatory framework. So this also has implications in terms of finding reasonable solutions of moving forward to address this issue.
Are there implications for consumers?
Well, any of these GM products that are in the market have been subject to rigorous safety assessments. So from a safety perspective, they're not marketed without undergoing that level of assurance. We are aware that many consumers like to make a choice between GM foods and non-GM foods. And if it's not clear whether a non-GM food has low levels of GM foods, this may have implications for the choice that they make. They may not have all the information that they need to make that choice. So this is one of the issues that countries may need to consider as they move forward in addressing this issue and trying to ensure that consumers have the information to make the choices that they need to make.
And what measures are being taken to address the issue?
Last year, FAO decided to undertake a survey of its member countries to collect more information on aspects such as the production, the regulation of these GM crops, food and environmental safety assessments, their detection and quantification, the trade incidents, and the relevant importance of this for various countries. And all of this information is being used as the basis for a technical meeting, which will be convened next week in FAO headquarters. And technical meeting really serves as a basis for countries to start discussing this issue. It's a forum for discussion to get everyone on the same page in terms of what information is available and to help people understand the different perspectives that countries have on this issue.
Ms. Cahill, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.